Well, good morning, everybody. It certainly is Friday, and I'm glad I'm here because I'm getting ready to leave right after this radio show. I'm going to jump into, not going to drive the Bronco on a long trip anymore. Learned a hard lesson there. I love the new Ford Bronco. It's great. I'm too old, though, to enjoy that kind of ride over, you know, any more than maybe an hour, hour and a half. Maybe to Asheville and back or Knoxville and back is fine. But, you know, 5, 6, 10-hour trips, no thank you. Just, you know, you feel every bump, and there's some wind noise. It's kind of like driving a Jeep, if you own a Jeep, except it rides a lot better than a Jeep. Really is smothering the Jeep with, The Jeep is being smothered in terms of competition with the Bronco, and I'm glad about that. Of course, I used to own a Jeep, several, and well, I bought and sold hundreds of Jeeps. Wranglers is what I'm talking about. And they're great, you know, and I enjoy driving them, you know, taking the doors off and pulling the roof off and going off-road and stuff like that. And really, they owned the market for such a long time. They don't anymore. But I am actually leaving for Atlanta with my wife, and I'm going to, I think I mentioned this yesterday, going to the North American headquarters for Porsche. And that is in Atlanta, and they have this beautiful building and structure and a 2-mile racetrack right behind him. Very convenient if you want to, you know, go for a lunch break and burn a lap or two, you know, around the racetrack. That's what I'm going to be doing for an hour and a half in a 2022 Porsche GT3, which is a hot rod Porsche 911. And going to be with a professional driver, have to wear helmets, doggone it. I hope they have one big enough for my brother's head. You know, I do have a pretty big head. 7 3/4 is my hat size. His is 8. But he's a doctor. So he needs that extra space, I guess, for his brain. But we are excited about this. We're going to go down and then, let's see. We are supposed to be at the driving center at 4 o'clock tomorrow. And we get to drive for an hour and a half, supposedly. I really don't know exactly how this is going to go. All I know is it costs me more than I would tell my wife. And but before that, I'm meeting my brother and his other and my other car buddies at the OK Cafe. Have you ever eaten there? It's at West Paces Ferry Road. So if you're driving through Atlanta, rather than going all the way around Atlanta, just go right through the middle on 75. And when you hit, when you see the sign for West Paces Ferry Road, get off. I'm telling you, get off. And go under the interstate. And right on the corner there is a place called the OK Cafe. And I can tell you this, it is way better than OK. It is phenomenal. And they have a takeout section of the restaurant where people can walk in on the other side and like buy apple pies and cherry pies and cheesecakes and stuff like that and all kinds of their other goodies. But I've seldom eaten in a restaurant that the food was any better. And the waitresses dress, and it's all waitresses, no men. They dress up like, I don't know, the waitresses from the 50s, you know, with the little skirts and stripes and little hats and stuff like that. It's really kind of neat. I wouldn't want to have to dress that way to go to work. But obviously they don't mind it. Hopefully they make good money. But I'm telling you, it's worth the stop. The OK Cafe. You heard it right here on My Car Guru. So anyway, I know what the idea is here with Porsche is to get you to drive a Porsche or to buy a new one. And, of course, that's so far out of my price range, it's not even funny. I mean, my Porsche that I have is a 2005 model. And, you know, it looks like a new car. It's got 26,000 miles on it. And I don't mind telling you, I paid $45,000 for the car. And that's my play car. And I just love it. And I've had, it is my 6th Porsche, and some of them I kept a long time. But, you know, the good thing about those cars is when I was buying and trading, I was able to buy the cars, drive them for 2 years, and sell them for more than I paid for them. So, you know, that's a pretty good deal, pretty good investment, I guess. Well, if you buy something and 2 years later sell it for what you paid for it, that's not really a good investment, is it? I mean, you made nothing. But in some cases, I did make money, and that Porsche, if I put it on bringatrailer.com, it would sell for mid-50s. So I could, you know, make a potential $10,000 profit on it. But I don't want to do that because I enjoy driving it and owning it, and I enjoy being a member of the Porsche Club of America. You get invited to all these cool little events that they have. I'm in the Smoky Mountains Porsche Club of America, Smoky Mountain Division. And they have cars and coffee events and car shows, and they have drives through the mountains and things like that. And they, you know, have these little get-togethers. And also, you get this really cool magazine called Panorama. And, you know, if you want to build loyalty to a brand, whether it's a, you know, let's say it's a car dealership or a car or a restaurant, you've got to do something to keep them connected. You know, I don't know if I mentioned this, if any of you have heard this, but I'm a big fan of leather. I like stuff made out of leather. It's a weakness. And so I have done a lot of business with a company called Colonel Littleton. And if you just go to ColonelLittleton.com, you will see some of the stuff that I like to buy, like briefcases and, you know, totes. Well, like, I don't know, suitcases and things like that. Overnight bags is what I'm trying to say. And then some of their portfolios and stuff. I have a severe weakness for it, and they have, now they're making a lot of their stuff out of buffalo. So they use steer hide, which is just smooth and brown, and then they use buffalo, which is tan dark, and it's kind of rough. And they mix them together, and I really like it. So why am I saying this? Well, Colonel Littleton is a great marketing company because when they send you in, I don't care if you buy a little bracelet from them or a belt, they send you the same thing. You get a moon pie, and you get a leather coaster that's stamped with their logo, and you also get all these little materials about, you know, why do they use buffalo, and what is their tanning process? You get history stuff, and you're just sitting there going through all this. Well, this is cool. And then, yeah, I'm on their email list, and I get all these emails, which you may say, well, I don't want that. Well, I like looking at some of their stuff, but they've got me, folks. I'm like a bass. They've got me hooked, and I just enjoy their stuff. Now, I probably get tired of Colonel Littleton. I'm pretty much done, you know, with my purchases from them for a while anyway. They make great gifts, too, because, you know, when you give somebody something like that, they don't just put that in a closet somewhere. That's something they use, and they're proud of it. It's that good. And so, I mean, I look at that, and I look, okay, how do I keep somebody loyal to my dealership? We have a lot of discussions about this over the years, you know, since I've been a dealer. I've said, okay, when somebody buys a car from me, how do I make them want to buy the next one from me as well? Well, I think most of you would have an easy answer to that. Provide good service, right? You know, when they bring it in for oil changes and, you know, repairs, that you're always there and you get to know them on a first name basis and you just build that relationship. And, you know, that's going to retain a certain percentage of folks, right? I'm not going to retain all of them. You know, you're not going to become best friends with the vast majority of these people, but there are some that you will. You know, I've got one guy that I've sold since 1978, sold probably 120 cars to. He buys a lot of cars, trades a lot. And but I have many, many customers that have bought 30 and 40 vehicles from me and my family over a long period of time. And so how do you do that? Well, you know, if you have the opportunity to develop a first name basis relationship and they have your cell phone number and stuff like that, you get that deep as far as friendship, then it's pretty easy to maintain that. You still have to work at it. You know, and I've had people defect. You know, they become communist. No, they really don't. They just go and buy another brand. I don't sell everything that everybody wants. I realize that. You know, and does it hurt my feelings? A little. But I get over it, and I understand. And they typically come back. You know, if my reaction was really nasty, they probably never do business with me again. You know, and that happens sometimes. I had a sales manager working for us one time that, you know, if he was working somebody and they ended up buying someplace else and they brought it back, you know, let's say they lived in Greenville and they went to, I don't know, Gatton up in Bristol and bought a new Chevrolet and then brought it back to Greenville and they had a problem with it, brought it into our service department. He wanted my service manager to tell him, no, well, take it back to Bristol. You bought it there. And my dad said, no, 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 no. We're going to give them as good a service as we can possibly give them. And they will see that, and maybe next time they'll call us again. Now, you know, my competitive nature sometimes would tend to agree with the sales manager back in the old days. Not anymore. I understand the value of relationship, and you just don't get mad over stuff like that. It's not worth it. It's like watching the news. You know, it's the worst thing you can do. You wake up in the morning and open your Fox News app or CNN or whatever side you're on and start reading, because it is not a great way to put yourself in a good frame of mind. So, you know, you don't poison the water by being a jerk and because somebody bought somewhere else. You treat them with love and kindness, and you make them feel good about doing business with you, and then maybe they'll come back. All of them won't. Some will, some won't. So what? You know, that's just the way it is. But, you know, a big majority of them will. So, you know, when you are running a car dealership, customer retention is very important. And so how do we connect these people to us? I'll give you some ideas of what some dealers are doing and some of the things you need to watch out for. Okay, I am not a purveyor of leather goods, although it may have sounded like that just a few minutes ago. But I'm talking about how you retain customers and what do you do to keep them coming back. You know, some dealerships sell aftermarket products. These are things that are, well, sometimes they actually give them away. You may buy a car and the dealer says, well, if you buy a car from us, we're going to give you tires for life. Or we're going to give you free towing and roadside service for life. You know, you get that from the manufacturer anyway for a certain period of time, basically while you're under warranty. You know, if you buy a Ford or a Nissan, I don't know what everybody else's, like roadside assistance and that kind of stuff, what kind of programs they have. But, you know, those are things designed to help dealers retain customers. But dealers also offer programs. As I said, they sometimes sell programs like prepaid maintenance. That's one of the things that dealers will try to sell you. Should you buy prepaid maintenance? Do you have a calculator? You know, that's one of the things you should probably bring if you're not a math whiz. Well, if you have your iPhone or, you know, something like that, you've got a calculator. Use that thing when they quote you a price on prepaid maintenance. Because why would you prepay unless you're going to get a discount, right, on maintenance? Now, some people say, I've heard some finance managers say, well, you sell prepaid maintenance for a really high price, and they can finance it in their contract, and then they don't ever have to worry about paying, you know, for the oil changes when they come in. Yeah, right. They paid for them. They just paid a lot higher price for the convenience of not having to pay when they pick up or when they have the service done. You know, I'm going to take, okay, how much are you charging for your prepaid maintenance? It's $642. $642, and how many oil changes do I get with that? You get five. Well, I'm going to do the math, and I'm going to realize that deal stinks. And so, you know, you've got to find out what are you getting for your money. What are the intervals, you know, that you have to abide by to get that? Now, Ford has a great deal. It's called Ford Pass. And so when you actually buy a Ford, you enroll in Ford Pass, and you get, year's worth or maybe 2 years worth of oil changes. We give away 2 years worth of oil changes on every car that we sell. And why would I do that? Well, I want you to experience my service department. And some, you know, we want to do things right from the get-go. Right now, you know, with the shortage of employees and shortage of workers and stuff like that, we've got a pretty serious backlog in service. And I was talking to my service advisor. I said, folks, you can't put somebody off 5-6 days for an oil change. I mean, we got to operate like pals. He said, well, we can't operate like pals. We're not serving hamburgers. And I know that. I said, but we've got to be able to do an oil change at least, you know, within a couple of days. And he said, well, each guy is trying to do so many oil changes a day. And I said, okay, here's your challenge. Double that. Well, you can't double that. Yes, you can. You certainly can't if you don't think you can, but you need to find a way to get more oil changes done in the same amount of time. Yeah, but what about, you know, checking all this stuff in the checklist? Find a way to do it. You know, I guarantee there are some efficiencies that you can find to make that process faster. Just experiment. You know, stay overworked for a while and see what you can do. We've even tried the team concept, and that works pretty well. But, you know, you got to watch out when you get your oil change, folks. This is just a sideline. I just had a customer, well, my service manager was telling me about it. They went to a fast lube place. I am not going to tell you which one because I don't want to get sued, but it's popular and it's in Johnson City. And somebody changes oil and, you know, there's an oil drain plug. It's threaded. Okay. It's when they drain your oil out at the bottom of your oil pan, there's a plug there. It's not like it's a metal plug. It's like a screw, and you take it out and then you drain all the oil and then you put it back in and you're supposed to tighten it up. Wouldn't you think you're supposed to tighten it up? Of course. Well, they didn't. They just made it finger tight. And, you know, with the vibration going down the road and everything, it worked its way out. Next thing you know, this guy's engine locks up. The repair involves a brand new engine, about 15 grand. Whose liability is that? Well, it's the people who change the oil. Now, granted, I'm going to give them kudos. They've got insurance, just like I have insurance. It's called Garage Keepers Insurance. Isn't that an interesting name? Garage Keepers Insurance. Since I have a garage, I have Garage Keepers Insurance, which protects me and you if I screw up. And that's exactly what this Quick Lube place did. And they said, yes, we will stand tall. We will fix that. And that's what they should do. And, you know, congratulations to them and to the customer. Now, a lot of inconvenience involved here. Had to be towed in. You know, has to be without his vehicle while he's waiting on the engine. No telling how long that's going to take with the parts shortages and things like that. Or, you know, just getting it fixed. So hopefully they're going to pay for substitute transportation for that. Okay, so you look at these things that dealers offer, and some of them are good, some not. If, for example, you might buy some coverage for dents and dings. You ever heard of dent coverage? Sometimes that's thrown in with a package that protects your wheels, you know, from curb rash and stuff like that. Those are great things, and they get you back to the dealership if you have a dent or a ding or, you know, some curb rash. You know what that is? That's when you get too close to the curb at the bank teller. I just can't believe some people. You know, the reason that happens so much now is because they've redesigned all these brilliant designers now, design wheels that extend beyond the sidewall of the tire. So you've got these low profile tires, and yeah, they look really good. And these big, you know, 20-inch wheels and bigger, some smaller, and they protrude further out, extend further out than the tires. So instead of the tire hitting the curb, it's your wheel. And we see a lot of elderly people, you know, with this issue of curb love, and some young irresponsible people as well. So I guess they didn't pay attention in driver's ed. But some of these cars are hard to judge. I mean, you know, with these different designs that we have now with the higher doors and stuff. But these are all kinds of things that dealers do. Another thing that dealers do is like Colonel Littleton, is they send you regular information and valuable information, stuff that you can use, stuff that will improve your life if you pay attention and, you know, give you, entertain you even. And so, you know, the content like that I do on this radio show, I mean, I've been doing this for about 20 years and, you know, and I know I kind of go around in the circles. Not really. Well, sometimes. But my goal is to educate and to provide information that is valuable that will hopefully save you some money and, you know, get your radar up a little bit when you walk into a dealership and you see some of the things happening that I've warned you about. To me, that's a public service. And I believe that selfishly a little bit, that some of that will come back to me in terms of people saying, well, you know, maybe he's not a bad dealer. Maybe I'll go buy a car from him. And that does happen. You know, it does happen. Now, everybody listens. They say, who is that guy? And they, you know, don't respond to it, or they don't want to buy a Nissan or a Ford. And I get that. You know, they want a Honda. They're Honda people. But at least they can take some information that I share, and it benefits them. And that's another thing that dealers can do through their personal messages. You know, people won't delete the emails if it adds value to their life, right? You know, if it's just junk and they're always trying to sell you something, then maybe so. They get tired of it, and they unsubscribe. I've done that many times to different people or different companies. But just some of my thoughts about customer retention. I'll be back here in just a second. You know, back in 2008, when they were coming out of the recession. The government, who was basically controlling General Motors at that point because they were in bankruptcy, and Chrysler Corporation, they decided, you know, you all need to stop selling big SUVs. And, you know, gas did get up to $4 a gallon, and consumers abandoned SUVs and pickups in droves, and they were buying small cars. Well, guess what? They're not responding that way this time around. Even though it's, you know, gas in many places is over $5 a gallon, you know, everybody's talking about electric vehicles, but, not that many people are really interested in them. You would think that the world is just ready to jump on board, but they are not, because most people have common sense. And they understand that an electric vehicle is great if you have some place to charge it and it doesn't take, you know, an hour sitting there reading the Greenville Sun, you know, while your vehicle is being charged. That's no fun. But, you know, you look at like the F-150, for example, 2022 model averages is rated at 21 miles per the gallon. You know what it was in 2008? 50% less. So there's been some dramatic improvement in fuel economy. And now they are looking at all of these alternative fuels, you know, things that maybe, you know, you pull up to a gas station and you're not getting gasoline. You're getting something else that your car can run on. And I'm not talking about ethanol. I'm talking about a synthetic fuel Porsche has developed that will basically, there's very little, if any, harm coming out of the tailpipe. Now, that would be better, something you can fill your tank up with. It's a liquid, and it's synthetic, and it doesn't put all the bad carbon stuff into the environment. I would far rather do that than buy an electric car, but that's just me talking the guru. So we'll see what happens. I'll keep you informed of what's going on, as usual. Well, thanks for listening to this edition, and I guess we'll see you on Monday morning. Have a great weekend.